Fast Eddie here at the EAA Radio Studios, and with me today from Warbirds of America is Vic Krause. Hello, Vic.
Good morning, Ed. It's really great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. I understand you've got something special you want to talk about.
I absolutely do. I refer to it as the best-kept secret at Oshkosh Air Venture. It's sponsored by Warbirds of America, and what it is a free-of-charge ride, an express tram tour. I call it an adventure tour that takes about 32 to 38 folks on each ride, winding its way through the entire Warbird complex, pointing out various aircraft, and it's narrated. I didn't mention it's professionally narrated as well. So the folks on that ride get a Universal Studios type of a tram ride, with one big exception. The dinosaurs that we talk about aren't just virtual and, you know, contrived. These are real aircraft that have combat history and a lot of other stories. And I guarantee you, it's an amazing response that we're getting to this ride, and it is free of charge. Wonderful experience.
This sounds fantastic. So you're going through the whole Warbird area, and you've got stories for every airplane that's in there?
We have a number of different narrators. These are all volunteers from the Warbirds of America. We have volunteers that are driving the tram, narrating, doing the boarding passes and taking the tickets and doing all of that. And everyone brings a different bag of knowledge to the experience. So that depending on which narrator you get, you might get a whole different color to the presentation. But at the end of it, I guarantee you, we have come away with people that were truly amazed. We've even had visitors that have been coming to Oshkosh for 12, 14, 15 years that have walked up to the narrator at the back of the tram after the ride and have said, you know, I've been coming here for a decade and a half. This is one of the single best attractions I have ever experienced. And even though I consider myself a veteran, I've learned things I never knew. So that's quite a reward to hear that kind of response.
Isn't that great when you get that kind of feedback? Not only are they interested in this stuff, but they actually learn things too.
You know, I think that's why the tram idea is so successful at all the big parks and attractions all over the country. I'm sure, like me, you love to get on a vehicle. You're comfortable. It's got a canopy. The sun isn't beating on you. And you're getting traversed through a large area and being educated at the same time, entertained, and maybe even enticed to join the Warbirds of America. Who knows?
Well, you know, another thing to bear in mind, too, is that towing kids and people with experience in life like you and I, you know, sometimes we're not as mobile as we'd like to be.
And we cover a lot of ground. Honestly, we do this. The ride, by the way, I didn't mention, but it's about 45 minutes. That's the average time from departure to disembarkment when we return. About 45 minutes. It may go 50, depending on if they make a couple of stops along the way. But absolutely, it's worth every penny, which is free. You can't go wrong with free.
That's
absolutely
for sure.
And another, you were bringing up the point about learning something. Absolutely. Who doesn't like to learn? I mean, that's why most of us come here to Oshkosh. We want to experience new things. We want to learn things about airplanes, and that's kind of why we came.
Well, that's why a lot of us are World War II buffs. We love to hear the stories about the airplanes.
We absolutely encourage the vets to come. We've had a large number of them attend. We always ask before we pull that tram out of the station how many vets we have on board, and we make sure that we thank them for their service right then and there.
It's very important that we do that, for sure. So what have you got in the Warbirds area this year?
Oh, my. We've got a potpourri of beautiful airplanes. Naturally, a big gaggle of P-51 Mustangs occupy Fighter Town. We got a good number of P-40s. Those Warhawks are in there. We've got there's only three in the world, an A-36. It was a pre-Mustang aircraft. Things got dive brakes on it. Very unusual airplane. One of only three in the world. And it is museum quality restored and on display.
Now, when you're talking one of three in the world, is that one of three that exist or one of three that are flying?
That's a great question. This is one of three that exist. This was like a prototype pre-Mustang. And they only built a couple. They they were prototypes. They trashed them out. So there, it's a miracle to just have one that's even running, but there's only three of these things that exist anymore.
There's a second one. I'll bet you you know of it at Wright-Patterson.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
They have one there. And this bear, and they're flying this one?
Yes, it flew in. It's fully operational. We've got an aircraft, a P-51 Mustang, Ed, on that Fighter Town field that actually has, and I'll mention, they are approved. I mean, and by the way, you need CIA approval. You need FBI approval. It has fully functioning 50 caliber machine guns.
Oh, my.
Yeah, amazing. And to get that kind of clearance, you have to go through quite a number of legal hoops. But it's on the field, and you can look right at that bird. Don't stand in front of it, just in case somebody pushes the wrong button.
I was going to say, that is a major miracle in itself.
It is. It absolutely is. A lot of rigmarole and red tape to get that done.
Did the pilot ever test fire them?
Fifth Amendment on that?
You got it. Okay. Come on. We all know he did. He's just not going to say anything about
it. Let me ask you this. If that was your airplane, would you?
Absolutely. It'd be worth $5 a bullet to put a few hundred rounds through it. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's great.
Hey, you know, well, that's what they did with Glacier Girl.
They
took the 20 millimeter out, had live ammunition. They put it in and fired.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. You have to aim these guns, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That's part of the restoration process.
Exactly. You just don't bolt them in. You gotta sight them in.
Absolutely.
What other rare aircraft are over there that people might want to see?
Glacier Girl. That's the P-38 they drug out from below hundreds of feet of ice years ago, recovered the salvage remains, and restored that airplane. It's just a miraculous job they did. And that is on the hard surface right there at Warbird's Scott's Warbird Alley, just north of the whole Warbirds complex. And that's standing on the tarmac. There's some beautiful SBD dive bombers there. We've got a Corsair that's absolutely glamorous, beautiful piece of machinery. Panchito B-25, all polished. Oh, my gosh, I wouldn't want that job.
Me neither.
A lot of work on that.
I understand it takes them a full week to polish
an
airplane.
It's not a surprise, and that's probably more than one guy, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's with buffers, too. They don't do that by hand.
No, it's a beautiful airplane. A number of other aircraft. One of the really noteworthy planes at Scott's Warbird Alley is that Bearcat, done up in the original Blue Angels paint scheme. And that was one of the first that was the first aircraft that the Blue Angels selected to do their routine. Just four guys got together, grabbed these Bearcats, and started doing a formation act. That was the beginning of the Blue Angels. Well, one of those planes is right there at Scott's Warbird Alley.
Oh, that's nice. That is rare. You wouldn't happen to have a Hellcat laying around there, would you?
You know, I didn't notice a Hellcat this year.
Okay.
Definitely the Bearcats there. A number of other cats, but that one, I would say, you know, don't give up, because it's only Tuesday.
These
aircraft come flying. We'll have a bunch come in today, tomorrow, Thursday. The big air show, of course, Friday and Saturday.
Friday
they're going to do
Saturday.
The Tora routine.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, I saw that routine in Midland, Texas about 15 years ago, and it was a heart-stopping show. If you don't see the Tora Act at least once in your life, you've missed a chunk of Warbird aviation history. It's a remarkable show. But, I should probably mention on this tram ride, because some people say, well, it's just for Warbird members, or maybe it's only for veterans. Listen, this ride is a perfect attraction, whether you're a first-time visitor, a family. We've had many families, mom, dad, the kids, youngsters, seniors, veterans, you know, even politicians and government officials are welcome. Lawyers? No, scratch the lawyers.
Scratch the lawyers.
Almost everyone is welcome. And you know what? Especially if you have an interest in learning about Warbirds in a relaxed, comfortable environment on a 40-minute excursion. It's a perfect attraction. We are having a response that is viral on this ride.
Is it a good opportunity to take pictures of these airplanes by any chance?
You're going to be paraded past everything, and it's going to save you 3.5 hours of walking it. If you had to walk this, you'd spend half your day and you'd be dragging your tongue over to the water shack. No, a perfect time, and that's a great thing. Bring the cameras. You're going to have a great opportunity for wonderful shots of everything without all the exertion that goes with parading yourself around.
Sounds like an opportunity for sure. Now, where can people pick up on this tram?
Great question. The tram loads up over at the training command tent. It's a big, big, big white tent, and on the top of it, it'll even say in a big red banner, Warbird Express Tram Tour. But that tent is just on the western edge of the Scott's Warbird Alley. It is just about 300 feet south of the grandstands for the Warbirds in Review. So that's the nest for the training command tent. And by the way, the tent is very large. It's populated with large tables and chair sets to accommodate people that just want to come in and have a water and relax or wait for the next tram ride. So anyway, that's where it loads up right there. I should mention, accommodates on the average 32 to 40 people, depending on their girth and size. And it lasts for, as I mentioned earlier, about 45 minutes, and it disembarks every hour on the hour. It starts at 9 o'clock and goes till 4 o'clock, and that's today, Tuesday, all the way through to Saturday on the hour. But it's a real good thing to get there at least 10, 15 minutes so the tram isn't already booked up. They're giving out boarding passes, and once they've distributed the number for the ride, you have to move up to the next hour. So try to get there a little on the early side and book up. And you can even get there, you know, let's say it's 11 and you want to go on the 2 or 3 o'clock. You can talk to Regina. She's our go-to girl at the training command tent. And she's the one distributing the boarding passes, and she will set aside and reserve, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever seats you need for that 3 or 4 o'clock excursion. So we're trying to iron out the wrinkles and make it convenient for everyone. We don't want anybody to show up and be disappointed that they couldn't get on. So we're streamlining it the best that we can, Ed.
Sounds like a plan. Now, if I wanted to get down to the training command tent, what I would do is I would grab one of the trams out of the bus area, correct?
You could certainly do that, and all you need to do is just run right north from either the vintage area or the home built or the classics. You would just go due north toward the north quadrant of the field, and where you see that big, and you know how they got these kiosks with mm-hmm. the different color. Vintage is green, I think, and they have the different colors. Well, just look for the northernmost kiosk, which is orange. That is the Warbirds of America kiosk. It is planted right there at Scott's Warbird Alley. All you'd have to do is walk pretty much up to that and turn left and go about 300 or 400 feet, and you're at that training command tent.
Sounds wonderful. Now, if people wanted to get more information on Warbirds of America, where would they go?
Well, we got a number of ways, but the best way, and the way that all the kids do it nowadays, is get on that browser. You can go to warbirds-eaa.net, and that will take you to a marvelous site that has a lot of our Warbirds right on it, where you can click on the different aircraft and learn about them. And that's another new program that we've got now, too. We're going to have QR codes on all the airplanes eventually.
Wonderful.
So you won't have to rely on the pilot standing there telling you everything. You can just point your scanner on your smartphone to that little sleeve on the propeller that has the QR code, scan that baby, and you will know more about that airplane than most people right then and there.
World War II meets the digital era.
That's exactly.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who would have thunk? That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Well, Vic, it sounds like it's definitely a don't-miss attraction. We're going to have to get down there and check it out. I know that I'm going to put that on my list. Won't be able to do it today, but I will get to it tomorrow.
You know, Ed, you just let me know which ride you want to go on. I'll make sure you got a real gung-ho narrator on that ride, and we'll reserve you a seat.
Well, if you'd reserve me a seat in a Hellcat, I'd be real happy with that.
You know what? I'd probably have to take your spot if that opportunity ever came along.
Who wouldn't want the chance to sit in a Warbird, for sure?
You know, there's one thing I probably ought to mention to the folks at large, and that is during the Warbird show or prior to, starting at around 2:30, the the ground warbird ground personnel will begin to sterilize that general warbird area in anticipation of the engine startups for the airplanes that are going to participate in the show. So I try to tell everybody, if you're walking up to walk around in the warbird area, you want to time it in such a way that you don't end up there at 2:15, 2:30, only to find that the warbird's area is being restricted until the conclusion of their performance in the air show, which is usually about 3:30, quarter to 4. So, folks, if you want to loiter around in the warbird area, watch out for that one window where you wouldn't be given access. But one other thing, the tram rides, however, are still going to have access. You can't get off the tram. It's not a transportation thing. You have to get on it and stay on it for that 40 minutes. But we have been given permission, even during the air show portion, to be able to take people through various parts and areas that others would not be given access. So those rides still go off on the hour all the way up to 4 o'clock.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Vic Krause here from Warbirds of America. Definitely check out that tram ride. I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.